Christian greetings to each of you this morning in the very precious name of Jesus. Reminded again that outside of Jesus, we have nothing to offer. We get up, and I think about that at times, we get up and we use that expression, and sometimes I have to wonder if I really connect with the reality of the fact that we need Jesus so much. The Apostle Paul even reminded us that outside of Christ, our preaching would be vain. The effort of coming together and experiencing a worship service such as this would not have the meaning that it does to us this morning. It's been a blessing to be here. My heart has been inspired in many ways already this morning, and I believe, again, God has been building and has been working through the various brethren, the devotional meditation. I appreciate it so much this morning. It's been somewhat of an introduction to the message. I'd like to share a message this morning that I was assigned a few weeks ago, preached at Calvary, and I am aware that a few of you were along and had a part in that service and heard it. I struggle with that at times a little bit, knowing about that. In fact, I thought about preaching something else this morning, but it seemed like the Spirit of God kept bringing me back, and I believe since I'm here, it's been confirmed in my mind already, again, just through the devotions and some of the thoughts that were shared that I believe God wanted me to share this morning. You may open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 is key verse, or the text verse, as we call them, that I'd like to look at this morning. The title of the message is The Christian Dealing with Fear. As we look at a verse like is assigned with it for the text verse, it seems like a contradiction, because in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." And yet we're looking at a message this morning that says that we are dealing with fear. This verse says, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm thankful this morning that we serve a great God, one who has all power, all soundness, and he shares that wisdom and that love that he has with us this morning. We are recipients of that. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. As we think about fear, and I believe this morning that we're all familiar with fear, we know what fear is. Fear, as used here in this verse, has the idea of apprehension or dread. Something that apparently senses impending danger, as it were, or trouble. And I believe that we can relate to that this morning as we think about fear, the things that we fear. Where does fear come from? How come we as people have fear that we deal with? Why is it good for us, or why is a subject like this assigned to us, the Christian dealing with fear? Where does fear come from? I believe this morning that we realize that fear is a result of, may I say, a fallen world. It's a result. Before Adam and Eve had sinned, there was no fear. In their innocence that they were created in, there was no need of fear. The Bible tells us that they walked with God in the garden, and they anticipated meeting God in that created state that Adam and Eve were in before they fell. There was no fear. There was nothing to fear. They didn't need. But we know that because of sin and the relationship being broken, the first thing that we read there in that account is that they feared God and they hid themselves. When God came walking in the garden, it wasn't the same as it was before, because they had now a knowledge of some things that they didn't have before, and they realized that they had, yes, not only sinned, they were aware of things that they weren't aware of before, and fear gripped their hearts. And because of that, they hid themselves from their Creator. Just another verse before we get into the message, the meat of the message, as I'll call it this morning. I'd like for you to turn back to Romans chapter 8, and I'd like to look at verse 15. Fear then is a result of the fall and going into falling, a relationship being broken. But Romans 8 and verse 15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." I love that verse, a very familiar verse with us. This morning, as Christians, it is true that we have the emotion of fear. God has given us that emotion. It's an emotion that God has put into us. But we have a verse like we do in 2 Timothy where it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We are not, today we do not have to, I'll say, live in the bondage of fear. We don't have to live in the bondage of sin. God has given us Jesus. He has put the plan of salvation in place. There is hope for us. We can come out of our bondage, and we don't have to be, we don't have to receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But we can cry out to an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-wise Heavenly Father this morning in our fearful conditions that we find ourselves in, realizing that He has all power. He limits the power of Satan. He limits the power of darkness. He limits the power of fear. And I praise God for that this morning. I like to think a little bit about our emotions. I said it's true that God has created our emotions, and fear is an emotion. It's one of the things God has created. And it can be good at times. The title's suggesting that we're dealing with negative fear. But I like to think about the good side of that emotion just for a few moments this morning. Fear is also a healthy emotion. It keeps us from getting into trouble sometimes. It keeps us from dangerous situations. It keeps us, may I say, from getting too close to the edge of things and falling over the cliff, as it were, because we have that fear of what can take place. Fear causes us to drive safely when we go on the highways. We know that there's certain things that we need to keep in place to avoid an accident or to avoid injury and so on. And it's that emotion of fear that helps us to keep some things together. Those are good fears, as it were. You see, the emotion of fear, like I said, can be our worst enemy or it can be our best friend. In a lot of these areas, it becomes our friend. The emotion of fear can be a protection device to save us from many other emotional harms or physical harms, for that matter. The proverb writer talks much about fear in a healthy way and what the benefit of fear is. He talks about fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of a wisdom, the beginning of understanding, as it were. When we fear God for a reverential fear, we heard about that in the Sunday school lesson that was made mention this morning. The fear of the Lord is good for our physical health as well. When we fear God, we keep away from certain things that would end up being an abuse to our body. But because we know that God dwells within us and we are the temple of the Holy Ghost and we live with that fear that we want the temple to be a temple that God can dwell in and wants to be in, and it keeps us from, yes, many, many things that would harm our physical health. The fear of the Lord prolongs life. It's a promise. We read that in Proverbs as well, that when we fear God, God takes recognition of that, and he extends the life of people at times because of that, because, for whatever reasons. Maybe there's an ongoing work that he wants them. He sees their faithfulness, and he sees that here's someone that's taking up my work and loves me and is spending his life, as it were, for me, and he prolongs life. There's many reasons, I believe, why God prolongs life, but it stems back to the fear of the Lord. But that's not what our text verse is talking about. The fears that our text verse talks about refer to the fears that destroy, the fears that become our enemies. They become our worst enemies, and therefore we must deal with them. And that's, I believe, why it's good for us to look at a subject like this, because I believe that preparing ourselves to deal with our worst enemies, as it were, or with these negative fears at times, is to think about them in advance and to, yes, in our minds, get some things in place. And this verse is a very good verse for this. God hath not given us this spirit. God does not want us to have this spirit. It's not his will that we live in the spirit of fear. Yes, it's his will that we live in the spirit of fearing him and the positive fears, but not the negative fears. God has not given us this spirit of fear. But God has given us that of power, that of love, and that of a sound mind. And I love that. Paul was actually, in the context of this verse, in this scripture, Paul was telling Timothy, he was writing to Timothy, who was a young minister, and Timothy was facing like we talked about in the Sunday school lesson this morning, he was facing the enemies, he was facing ungodly men, he was facing persecution, he was facing, yes, his preaching wasn't always accepted, men were refuting it, and because of that, there was fear being put in Timothy's heart. And Paul was telling him, look, Timothy, get out and preach and do my work for me. And don't fear these people. God is not giving you fear. But God is giving you the power. The Holy Spirit, in other words, is going to be in you and with you. And therefore, go and preach and proclaim the message that I have. And God is giving you that of love. In other words, what I see is Paul was telling Timothy, these are tools that God is giving you to survive, to face the enemy, and to pull through. And dear ones, this morning we have those same tools to face this fear. I love the thought, and I'll just say this lest I forget it, the thought of a sound mind. I don't know what you think about when you read that verse. Many times in the past, my mind has went to the fact that God has given us a sound mind. And we thank God for the sound minds he gives us. But I like to think about this, that this is God saying that I am giving you my power, I'm giving you my love, and I'm giving you my sound mind. I'm giving you my understanding, my wisdom. It's coming from me to you. And I love to think about it in that way. This morning, the Holy Spirit does give us, yes, thoughts. It gives us wisdom. It gives us understanding. And therefore, we have let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. We have a connection to the mind of God, I believe. We have a sound understanding. And I love that. Well, even though we have all those tools, the truth of the matter is this morning is that fear is still a real part of human experience. We have fears. We are human people, and we have fears at times. And I'm just going to, just for a few moments this morning, I'd like to think about some of the most common fears that people have. I have about seven of them jotted down here that I believe are some of the most common fears that we have. First of all, I believe is the fear of the unknown. The fear of what we don't know, future, where life is going to take us, what God's plan is for our life. There's just a host of things. And when in our human tendencies, we start to fear that at times, fear what God may allow to come our way. I believe another fear is the fear of failure. We are human, and we like not to make mistakes and not to be a failure. And the thought of failing in something is a real fear to some people. The fear of rejection leads to rejection sometimes. Failure leads to rejection, or at least we fear that. But it's another fear, the fear of rejection. Fear of commitments, making commitments because you know that they are going to have to be met. That's probably a good one for us preachers to remember. We get these calls, and could you have meetings? Could you have revivals? And probably the older we get, the more it's so easy to make a commitment when it's 6 months out there or a year out there. And, well, I think I can do that. And the time comes and this fear starts dwelling up, coming up in us. Fear of people. Fear of places. Fear of activities. Those are all fears that people in different ways, different forms, bring fear. But what I'd like to say about all these fears this morning is that all these fears neutralize our effectiveness for God. When we allow fear to set in any one of these places, it's probably going to make us pull back from being as effective for God as what we could be. And so I believe it's one of the reasons why we need to look at a message like this. Just a few thoughts for you to think about. If you're prone to worry, you're prone to have fears, and we know what fear does to us. Fear makes us, anxious, makes us worry. Just a few questions. How much time have you spent worrying about a particular problem? Something that is a fear to you, and you spent time. How much time does it take? You know, it can rob us of so much time because that's all we want to think about. We sit around and we think about that fear. How much energy does it drain from us? It takes its physical toll on us. It takes energy. It saps us of our energy so many times when we dwell on these fears. And finally, has it changed anything? To sit around worrying about it, being anxious about it, and after the energy is drained from us, what has changed? Many times it hasn't. Next, I'd like to think about some causes of fear. What are some causes of fear? I believe that fear is a result of things that are out of our control. Those disciples that Brother Linford read the story to us about this morning who were out in the ship, all of a sudden they were in familiar territory. They were fishermen. They were used to this. The boat was nothing new to them. But all of a sudden the sea became rough and fear set into their hearts. Why? Because it was out of their control. There was nothing they could do. So many times I believe that fear sets into our experience. And we forget that the presence of Jesus is right there with us, just like it was with them. Jesus was right there. Jesus said, "Why are you so fearful?" He had it all under control. You know, we just need to learn that Christ, that Jesus has it in control for us. I'd like to. There's many illustrations in the Bible that we get turned to where fear has taken control of the lives of individuals and where the results of it. I like to go to just one of those accounts. When I think of fear, my mind often goes back to the 10 spies and their account. Turn with me back to Numbers chapter 13. We're just going to take a few moments this morning to look at some of these verses and pull some I like to see the progression of fear. Where fear finally leads to, and these verses bring this out. In Numbers chapter 13, and we'll break in at verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron. This is the spies when they came back after having spied out the land. Verse 17 tells us, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And so they went, and they came back here in verse 26 now. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. I see in these few verses, as they describe what they saw, I see fear in their hearts. These were big people. They were giants. They were powerful people. Besides all this, they had high walls around their cities. How were we ever going to conquer this land? There was fear there. Well, in verse 30, Caleb comes. He apparently is detecting the fear that's in their hearts. And in verse 30, Caleb say, stilt the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb didn't have the fear that these people had. He had courage. He had faith in God. He was ready to go. Let's go get the job done. God's going to help us. But look at the response Caleb gets. Verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched out, the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And the people that we saw are in it are men of great stature. You see, their fear is turning into discouragement here is what it is. Caleb says, let's go do it. We can conquer it. We can. Oh, no, we can't. And they brought up an evil report. I just see the progression of fear. And it ends up being discouragement. Verse 33, and there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak. They were as giants. And in our own sight, we are as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight, is what they were saying. But they saw themselves as grasshoppers compared to them. Then in chapter 14, it tells us in verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. I see the discouragement simply going into the next phase, and that of depression is where it is. So it starts with fear. It ends up being discouragement. It ends up in depression. And as we read on down, we're not going to take the time to read all this. But finally, in verse 10 of chapter 14, I want to bring that out yet. Here's where it ended up at. And all the congregation bade stone them. In these verses in between, Moses and Aaron, and Joshua and Caleb, verse 6, Joshua and Caleb, they again were trying to encourage them, let's go, we can do it. But here's the response in verse 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. I see this whole thing just simply turning into bitterness is what it did in their experience. And so we see the downward course is what I'm trying to point out to you this morning of simply fear and where it can lead to us. So it starts, number one, many times by being with things that are out of our control. Here again, that's what it was. Things were out of their control. It was true they were to conquer giants. It was true that they were men that were skilled in fighting and in war and so on. That's true. But they had forgot all the victories that were won back here that God had already won for them, and this would be another one that God would, but it was out of their control. It looked huge. The second thing that I see that fear does, and it comes out in these verses, it done this to them, is that fear and worry have a way of clouding our minds. When we allow fear to set in and we get anxious and anxiety takes hold and we start worrying about things. We can't think straight anymore it's the terminology we use. We get all mixed up here at times and we get things put together wrong anymore. It clouds our minds. And the more that we think about the situation, many times we're not any different than they were. The more that we think about it, the more negative it gets. We just make it worse, and it gets worse. It gets to be bigger than it is. It seems to grow in our minds. Well, this morning, if you're here and you're experiencing some of that, and I'm going to, in the end of the message, give a few thoughts, but I'll say this right here at this point. I believe that if we are experiencing that, it's time that we go to someone that, and we share our thoughts and share our minds and someone that we trust. Get your mind on something else. Share with someone your struggles. Get help, because it's a downward course. It's a progression that goes on unless we find help. That's what these people needed to do. They needed to find help, and there was help there. There was those that were there were telling them, look, this is not the way it is, and yet they refused all that. And that, to me, brings out the reality of where fear that grips people, what it really is. Dear ones, this morning, fear, people that get taken up with fear, it is real to them, and you many times have a hard time convincing them that it's different than what they are thinking in their minds. Well, it takes me to the third point this morning. I believe that fear is an act of our wills where we choose not to trust God. I think I see that here as well. Here was a group of people that Josh and Caleb were telling them, look, think about this. We can. I'm sure they told them, God won many victories for us back here. Brought those things to their mind. You know, this congregation just joined hands, as it were, and they put all their minds together, and they said, oh, it's not going to be. It won't work that way. I believe that fear many times is an act of our will where we choose not to trust God. So verse in 1 Samuel. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14. We're just going to break into Samuel's experience here as well. But in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 6. Samuel was facing Jonathan here. I'm forgetting the context of this altogether right now. But in verse 6 it says, and Jonathan said to the young men that bear his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And that's the thought that I want. Jonathan here chose to walk into a dangerous situation, as it were, one that he full well knew that was out of his control and over his head, I'll say. But he was putting his faith in God. There is no restraint to God. God doesn't need many. He can work by many or he can work by few, is what he was saying here. And I just love that thought. Somehow we need to take that thought with us. You know, it evaporates. The situations around us, the fear that we have, evaporates so many times when we trust God. Just put it in God's hands. God has ways of taking the situation right out of our experience. But too many times, we feel like we need to come up with the answers. We need to act. And we choose not to trust God. Number four, I believe that fear causes us to withdraw and hide. And right with that, I'm going to say that this is human nature. It's a way of self-preservation is what it is. A way of preserving or not exposing ourselves or not letting it out. People who fear withdraw from their friendships. They withdraw, they hide, they go into hiding, as it were. They don't want to be exposed because, you see, these are connected with some of those fears that I talked about, the fear of rejection, the fear of being a failure. And so I'll go and I'll hide myself. I'll not let anybody know what is going on with inside me. I'll not let this fear out to others. It's a whole circle that is connected is what it is. It's a circle that we need to take our eyes off ourselves and we need to find help. And I'll get into some of that a little bit later. But I believe it's another thing of what fear does. The fifth thing that I have down, fear causes us to run. When we should pray and face our fears head on. We have an illustration of this back in Genesis chapter 32. I think we'll take the time to go there. Genesis 32 and verse 6. Where Jacob was again meeting his brother Esau. Genesis 32 and verse 6. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two bands, and said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will dwell well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am come to bands." And here's what I want. You know, Jacob could have ran. He left out his fear. He divided his company. There was some human reasoning that he put into it. But he did turn to God. And in verse 11, his request turns into a real prayer. "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother and from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou sayest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." He remembered the promise that God had given to him as well. But my point is, instead of running, Jacob could have, he had time to get ready. He could have told his people, "Hey, let's head out of here. Let's go. Esau is coming." No, he did take a few precautions, but he turned to God and he prayed about it. And we know the outcome of the situation. There was a peaceful meeting. He wouldn't have had to have the fears that he did. How many times do you and I want to run from our fears? It's just, it's a part of this human emotion that we have. When fear sets in and it takes over, we're just ready to get out of here. Let's go. When God says, just bring it to me. Come on to me. Lay it at the cross. I'll take care of it. The sixth point that I like to think about is that the moods of fear and worry also create physical responses. You see, fear and worry do take its toll on us emotionally. Everybody is different. But it does. It can create things like tension in our bodies, where we feel all uptight because of this fear, and there's no relaxing. Our muscles pull up tight. It creates headaches. It creates high blood pressure for people. The list goes on and on. There is all kinds of physical problems that people tend and end up running to the doctor for, and start spending a lot of money. And yes, it's the way it works. It's another reason why we as Christians need to look at a subject like this. We need to get to the root of the problem. You know, the doctor can do something for the headache. He can give you medication for the high blood pressure. There's a lot of things we can do. But if the product that's causing it all isn't taken care of, we can doctor and doctor and doctor and spend money, and we'll still go on living with the real problem. My point is this. I'd like to tie this back to our text verse. God has given us this sound mind, brethren and sisters. Let's use the minds. Let's get the proper help. I'm not saying this morning that there is never a time for some medication to help. Maybe level a situation out. Get some things under control. I'm not knocking some of that. But I do not believe this morning that medications are the answer. I think we need to get to the root of our fears, if that's the cause of it, whatever it is. One more point, as I think about some of the causes of fear, and that's simply the point that there is a relationship between fear and love. Let's go to Exodus chapter 20. In verse 20. Again, it's Moses speaking to the people. And in Exodus 20, verse 20, Moses says unto the people, "Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." Now this is again thinking of a positive fear, not a negative fear. A fear that is good. It's keeping us from the things that could happen to us. But the thought that I want here is God is doing this to prove us. It's God's love is what it is. It's God's heartbeat for the human family. God has come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, and that ye sin not, keeping you from a worse experience in life. And so there is a relationship. As we think about God and the emotion of fear, there is a relationship between what God allows in our experiences as fear, or brings into our experience, the godly fear, the good fear, the fear that finally... Okay, this is what I want to say. It's a fear that finally should be our friend, and too many times we keep it our enemy. It's what we do. And there is that connection. God wants it to be our friend, and we keep it the enemy too many times. We look at it in the negative light. Well, this morning, for the last few moments, what is the remedy to our fears? I don't know that I have a lot of answers for you this morning, because I'm just human and I have my fears, and I've dealt with a lot of fear in my life already. But I would like to say this: dealing with fear takes humility. Dealing with fear takes humility. And what I mean by that, we need to come out and confess that we have fears, and talk about them, bring them out. Look, what is it that's causing my fear? And some of the fears that you and I have that are human experience to us come from, I'm going to say, some of the weirdest things. And we don't want to expose them. We don't want to bring them out. We'd sooner live in it and stay there than acknowledge that I have this claustrophobia from a certain thing that if I tell you, you're going to think, now he's really off the rocker. He's really weird. Brothers and sisters, it takes humility. We must humble ourselves and we must bring our fears. We must confess. James says, confess your faults that you may be healed. And I believe getting to the root of our fears is to confess the root of them. Look, I know it's weird, but I can't get on top of it. And so it takes humility to do that. It does, because it connects back to the list. Rejection, failure, boing, boing, boing. Our mind starts going, and we don't want to go there, but we must go there. Dealing with fear takes humility. Now, I'd like to take that to the other side. When someone is willing to be humble and come and in humility acknowledge their fears, let's ask the listeners be humble enough to see the depth that these people, where it's taking them, and the fact to realize, I guess I should say, that it is real to them. You know, the minute you as a listener, and that person finally comes to the place where they want help and they come and they acknowledge that they have this fear and that they need help, the minute that you as a listener let them even think that you think they're weird, it's all over. They just go right back into that hiding so fast. They're going to preserve themselves, and you have just missed the opportunity to help them. You see how touchy this whole thing is? It takes humility not to laugh. Oh, you're weird. I mean, get over that. You know, that's our human response too many times. My point is, fear is real to people. I've been there. I know what it's like. It takes humility, and it takes people who get down there and help you. Unless you're willing to be that friend and get down there and help, the person's probably not going to be helped. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but you know what? I think I will, because I'm burdened, I'm concerned that we help people who are living with fears. Many times the help that these individuals get doesn't even come from the people closest to them. Oftentimes it comes from people who have been there themselves and maybe come into their experience from a distance. That's shame on us when it is that way, but too many times that's how it is. Get up beside these people. We don't understand their fears, and it takes humility on our part. The second thing I'd like to say, and I maybe should have brought this out before, but if fear is the result of sin in our lives, then we need to repent. We need to confess. We need to cry out. We need to face the facts. Brethren and sisters, we can go on through life with fear creeping up in our hearts, and we have the connection to that fear to something that we know is not the way it should be in our lives. But here again, we're not going to expose ourselves. This thing of failure, this thing of rejection, this thing of that whole list of things comes right in the forefront of a person's mind like that again, and it keeps them from repenting and responding and doing about the sin that is causing the fear. And this morning, dear ones, I just plead with you, if that is the case, cry out to God. Ask God for mercy and ask God for help. And dear ones, get the help. Again, it takes humility. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. It's funny how I think I know my Bible, and sometimes when I start preaching and I look for passages, I can't think anymore where it comes in line with the rest of the Bible. Proverbs chapter 3. I like to look at verse 5 through verse 7. I believe this is an antidote to fear this morning. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I'm going to underscore that, with all thy heart. Brethren and sisters, when fear becomes real, there's nothing like finally admitting that, coming to the end of ourselves, emptying ourselves out, and just saying, Lord, it's all yours. It's all yours. I'm done. I can't go on like this. I need help. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. Oh, yes, human thoughts, human thinking is, oh, I got to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to, you know, we go there. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's all in a nutshell, really, right there in those three verses, I believe. Well, my next point is, point number three, is memorize scripture, Bible verses. Oh, yes. Yes. We know that, don't we? Memorize scripture. We know that there's all kinds of verses in the Bible that are the antidote for fear. That's easy said, right? When we have fear, it's hard to connect to them. We can even say them. We can have them memorized. We can bring them to our minds. But fear's still there, and it's still real, and we don't connect. And so, yes, I can tell you this morning, memorize scripture, turn to scripture. And I believe scripture helps. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with my right hand of my righteousness. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And the list goes on and on and on and on. We have a whole Bible full of promises. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He's the strength of my life. I believe that the rest of that verse goes on. And so, yes, having God's word, memorizing scripture is good. But when we're in that condition, it's hard to connect sometimes. My fourth point, my last point that I'd like to make this morning, I'd like to just encourage us not to try to do more than what we can do. And my point is simply this. Fear in the lives of some people and some of us sometimes is that we get this feeling that we need to fix the whole world's problems. Dear ones, we cannot fix the whole world's problems. We cannot fix all the problems in the church ourselves. We cannot fix all the problems in our families ourselves. The truth of the matter is, I can't fix all my own problems within myself. That's how close home it comes. And so, let God carry some of the load. Get down there and let God. He wants to. His invitation is there. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. The source to overcome comes from God. He's put love right in there so that we feel his presence. And he's given us all the wisdom and understanding that we need to overcome fear. But the truth of the matter is, we still have the emotion of fear. And it's a lifetime of working. And I encourage you this morning, let's not give up. But let's open ourselves up. Let's find help. And let's help each other so that we can go on to victory. Let's kneel for prayer.